Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Let's start again. Good morning, everyone. Today is Thursday, August 27th, and we're here. Good morning, Jen.
Morning, Sam.
So, we're going to have a guest calling in a little bit. Sounds interesting, like an interesting guest.
I think so.
So this is a mom of your friend?
Yes.
Not a friend of your mom, but a mom of your friend.
Correct.
Okay. So I have to get that straight.
Yes.
Sounds good. So I think she's got a book, right?
Yes.
And we're going to talk to her about that as well. So let's see what's going on. Anything new with you, Jen?
No, not really.
Nothing really. Did you do any new Two Drunk Girls yesterday?
Of course we did. It comes out today at 3.
Oh, today's Thursday. That's right. Why did I say yesterday?
Okay. I thought today's yesterday Thursday. Was Thursday all week.
Really?
Like, every day was like the day ahead, and today I thought was Friday, but it's Thursday.
Wow.
Yeah, so our episode goes live at 3 today, and we're talking about the VMAs.
VMAs, Video Music Awards.
Yes.
And when is that going to be on?
Sunday.
This Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that MTV stuff?
Yes.
Okay, the MTV Music Video Awards.
Exactly.
Do they still make music videos? I guess they do.
Apparently they do.
And stuff, right?
Yeah, well, when we interview musicians, they always say that they've done like a music video. And
right.
So it's still a thing.
I know. Except it's not on TV anymore.
Right.
I remember everybody used to have music videos. I mean, not just MTV, but they would have shows like at midnight and stuff, you know, like CBS, the networks. And they would just have music videos back to back all the time, and it was great because when it first came out, you realize it sort of like visualizes the song,
right?
You know, and things like that. They often tell stories in the video, and some of them have been very innovative, you know. So
also, I mean, that's where a lot of like Halloween costumes come from, is when you see music videos and you like you identify with something in that. Like now it's like, what are you gonna dress as?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, when you guys watch it, is that going to be a party? A few people watching it?
I don't think so. Mm, okay. You'll have to also watch our video today to find out how we feel about the whole thing.
Oh, okay. Sounds good. Oh, so you have opinions about the entire thing, not just specific videos. Oh, okay. Sounds good. How many episodes have you guys done so far?
A lot. Counted? I don't know. We haven't counted.
That's cool.
I'm sure I could count.
Yeah.
I'll report back tomorrow.
It's okay. You don't have to. You know, we just know you've done a lot. So
yes.
That's good.
We've been pretty regular with it for a while now.
Yeah. Well, that's very good. You know, I mean, persistence is very important. And I've discovered that you got to stay focused on what you're doing. You know, if you spread yourself too thin, then you don't really focus on anything.
Yes.
And so kudos to you for that.
Thank you.
Yesterday I got my dash cam finally, and I bought this. I still don't know why, but I bought it. So
Sam, how do you not know why if you're the one who pressed buy?
Because I think I was looking for excuses to get it because I just thought it was neat.
What is cool about it?
What's cool about it is that you can record your drives. So. Okay, so I watched a couple of them. That was fun, I guess, the novelty of it all. But I think...
But what's fun about it? Like seeing this...
Seeing it afterwards, yeah.
Seeing what you're driving toward?
Right. It's not showing the inside. It's showing the outside of
right.
the car. Right.
Okay, so you're seeing views you didn't see because you were driving.
Not necessarily, no. I mean, you're seeing what you see when you're driving, you know.
So it's just you needed to watch that a second time. Why?
Because it was the first time and I wanted to enjoy it.
Okay.
So we'll see how much longer I'll enjoy that. But no, I think...
I'm just trying to understand what you enjoy about it.
I know. That's fine. You can ask me. I'm still trying to figure that out. That's what I'm saying. I just think it gives you a certain amount of control when you know you can record everything if something happens in front of you or something.
So if you were to get into an accident.
Right. Something like that, you know.
You have proof.
Or if something neat happens, you're going to have... a viral video, too. I was thinking about that, you know. I mean, all the people that... you always wonder, how do people capture all this stuff? You know, like a motorcycle driving 80 miles an hour and then wrecking against a car or something.
Yikes.
It's like, yeah. I mean, I've seen things like that, you know.
And, that's scary.
And you go, how can people record this? And now you realize that a lot of people have dash cams and they just have them on.
Got it.
You never know what happens. But yeah, I don't know, Jen. You know, sometimes I want a new gadget and there's nothing that I don't have. So I figured, you know, it just, how did I think about it? It came on TV as a commercial and I thought, wow, that looks pretty good. But then I went online and bought a different kind. But that's just what made me think about it.
Okay.
Yeah. So if for the person that has just about everything in gadgets, maybe a dash cam is the way to go. I'm also thinking of a drone, but I don't know what I'll do with that other than take some video from above.
Well, that's cool because I feel like that's something you'd never see unless you're like up there.
Right.
Which,
exactly.
How often are you up there?
Right.
Versus a camera that you're just recording what you've already seen.
Right. But they are quite expensive, and there's still laws out there that you have to... it has to be within your view. You can't fly it where you can't see it. Type of thing, and I don't know, they're saying they're pretty easy to fly, and there's some great footage you can find on YouTube done with drones, but I also realized how they make many movies. I mean, sometimes you just get shots that like are impossible, and so they've been using drones for a long time, I think, for movies. So, but that's creating a problem. I mean, already there's a lot of talk about it, like how to regulate it, because already they're interfering with air transport and endangering, I guess, people or whatever, pilots. So they're still up on the fence as far as what to do with that. But yeah, so what other gadgets? I don't know. The Apple Watch is pretty cool, but I'm not going to spend that kind of money. But they're selling a lot of them.
They are.
Yeah.
People want them.
I know. Some people will buy anything that Apple makes. They do make cool products. There's no doubt about it. You use a Mac, right?
Yes.
At home?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Have you always used a Mac?
No, I was a PC person for a while.
Really?
Yeah. Because I just didn't know how to use a Mac.
Mm.
And they were always more expensive.
Yeah. It was more expensive, but you know what? They hold their value like nothing else does, you know?
Yeah, it's, I mean, amazing. I enjoy using a Mac now. It's like hard for me to go back at this point, but that's just because I'm used to it, so.
Cool. Okay, I think our guest is calling, so we're going to go ahead and pick that up. Is that Susan?
Yes, it is.
Hi,
this
Susan.
Is Sam.
Hi.
Yes.
Hi, Jen.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you for calling us. This is Susan Worley. Where are you calling us from today, Susan?
I am calling from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the Midwest.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's pretty cool. I mean, I kind of recognize the area code. I used to be a telephone operator like 100 years ago, and we had to memorize area codes, you know. So I know a lot of area codes in the country, you know, and Milwaukee is one of them. Also, I used to date someone from Milwaukee, so I recognize that. So,
oh, you used to date someone from Milwaukee.
Yeah,
okay.
Do you believe that? Yeah, she's here now, but she's from there. And, and I've been there once.
It's a great place. It's a great place to live. We have a reputation around our Packers and our cheese and our snow, but this time of year, it's beautiful.
Oh, it is, huh? It's not too humid or anything?
No, I think when it comes to July, August, and September, we beat out the rest of the country. It's just perfect.
Wow. Because I was up there for a wedding, and I remember it was so humid, I died in my suit, but I don't remember what month it was. It had to be in the summer. But at any rate, So, Susan, tell us a little bit about what it is that you do.
Well, I'm a business consultant, and I tell people for the last 25 years, what I've really done is gone into businesses and help people to play nice in the sandbox together, you know, because business isn't so difficult, but it's those dynamics that get in the way.
Right. The people.
Yeah, the people.
And
right?
their personalities.
And so...
Go on.
They used to call me when, you know, there's some problems maybe with sales, or perhaps sales is really great, but the people aren't working together as a team. So I go in and I help them to collaborate and innovate better. And that's why I wrote this book that's coming out 9/11 called Ego at Work, because really what it is the ego getting in the way of us being able to work together better.
Right. And that's pretty much, I think, in general, not just at work.
I agree. I agree. And you know, when I was coming up with the title, Sam, you know, when I called it Ego at Work, it's kind of a play on words, because ego at work is ego at work anywhere, right?
Right,
you know, it's our
exactly.
ego that's working to be center stage in our life. And, you know, we want to be the ones that are right. We want to be the ones that are important.
Same thing in relationships.
That just gets in the way of collaboration.
Yeah. That's true. Same thing in relationships. Ego gets in the way. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, cool.
Do you have a good story around that?
Always.
Around egos? I would say so.
Yeah. Everybody always wants to be right. Not everybody listens.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I think we all have a good story around that. You know, even as a person who wrote the book and teaches this, I can tell you it shows up in my life, you know, almost every day, where I have to watch my ego that, you know, just wants to have it my way, or you know, be the one who has the last word or whatever. It's just such a tendency. And I think if we can be honest that this is always at play in our lives, and we can observe it more and detach from it and then choose something differently, what a different world we live in, like you said, both at work and at home.
Right. So how long have you worked on this book now?
Well, you know, people ask me that question, and I would say that it started in my mind, you know, honestly, probably 15 years ago. But then I started putting the thoughts down about a year and a half ago, and then all of a sudden it's just started flooding out, you know, in January. And then from January till about the end of March, the book was pretty much done, and then it went through the editing process, and then we, of course, sent it out to publishers. And Hay House, if you're familiar with Hay House,
yes,
their division called Balboa, they picked it up. So
Very
we're really
nice.
Excited about that, because there's a little bit of a spiritual message to it, you know, because when you get beyond the ego, you're really more connected with your essence.
That's true. And then you're able to see other people, you know. Some people don't see 2 feet in front of them, you know. It's just like,
that's a perfect way of explaining it.
Yeah,
yep.
I know. And, you know, with all the selfies and everything and self-proclaimed celebrities on social networks, I think a lot of ego is at work there.
Yeah, that's, you know, Facebook really promotes that, doesn't it?
Yeah,
so we're
I think
always
it does,
putting
yeah.
things in the feed that we think are so important about ourselves.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yep.
So now, do you have any background in psychology and things like that?
Yeah, that's a good question. Everybody asks me that. I sort of feel like the bartender psychologist, to tell you the truth. You know, they know the most, right?
Mm-hmm.
I went to school for business and communication, and the school of communication is very similar to psychology. We do, you know, study some of the same courses. But after being a consultant and coach for 25 years, I just kept seeing the same dynamic over and over and over and over, getting in the way of people working towards the goals and results. And so, like I said, this formed in my mind about 15 years ago. And as I just kept on seeing it, I just felt called to write about it. So, no, I don't have a degree in psychology, but I swear I do from the School of Life.
Right. No, I didn't even ask if you have a degree. I just thought, I was just wondering if you're practicing or anything like that. But I guess you're more involved with the consulting part of it, going into places and really fixing things. And that's really cool.
How did you get into that?
Yeah,
after going in communications?
Thank you for asking that, Jen. You know, when I was 16 years old, everybody in my family was so into the Packers, and they would watch it on TV on Sundays, and I quite honestly was bored with it. So I would go in the other room, and I would turn on PBS, and I would see all these motivational speakers, and somehow at age 16, I had a calling that this is what I was supposed to do. And so I went to school for that, and then I got into teaching for Dale Carnegie. And I liked it. I liked it, but there was something a little too scripted about that for me. So then when my second daughter, Alex, was sick, she was sick when she was born, I quit my job and I started going back for my master's. And I just knew at that time I was supposed to start writing training programs and coaching programs for companies. And by the grace of God, my first client was a national company called Pepsi-Cola. We, of course, know who they are.
Yes.
And that hit the ground running. And then I got picked up by Harley Davidson, and that hit the ground running. So I have to say it must have been kind of my destiny at a young age. So I was 27 years old, started my own business, started writing programs, and then, you know, here I am.
Very cool. We're talking to Susan Worley, and the website for her book is egoatwork.com, and you can find out more information about the book and stuff. I'm looking at your other site. You've written other books as well?
I have. This Ego at Work is my sixth book. The other five books are also books on personal empowerment. You know, they don't have the exact same flavor, but like the first book is about learning how to tap into your intuition and trust your gut feeling. You know, how do you know it's really your wisdom? And that book teaches that. My next book that was called The Power to Believe is How to Get Over Your Self-Doubt and Go After Your Dreams, you know, and how that self-doubt gets in the way. And then I wrote The Personal Leadership Puzzle, which was really about, okay, now you've hit success, but how do you live a life of fulfillment? Because we tend to have this either-or thinking that we're successful, you know, and/or we have to give up, you know, fulfillment in our life. So that's what that book is about. And then I wrote Pause, Take Control of Your Life, which really helps us to be more in the present moment by knowing how to, you know, breathe and take in what is and make good decisions in our life. And then my last book before this, Ego at Work, was Ignite the Plan. And it's one of my favorite books. It was about a journey I had personally with a gentleman who was the founder and CEO of Fiserv, who created our online banking and ATM as we know it today. Right. And he was the partner on a dashboard that I have, a digital dashboard that helps people align to the goals. And it was about how we became partners, and shortly after that, he ended up with heart disease and had to go in the hospital and was in ICU for 7 months.
Whoa.
And it was the whole, yeah, it was really a unbelievable time of my life, because here he was this fantastic partner, but now he was in ICU and he was dying. And he encouraged me to continue to develop this digital dashboard. And so you see this whole journey, this entrepreneurial journey, and I'm speaking in first person, talking about the fears of doing this by myself and the fears of losing my mentor, and then sort of the victory at the end it talks about. So I've always written personal empowerment books. They all have stories. They all have tips. And I'm really excited to launch Ego at Work 9/11.
Wonderful. And if you guys want to check out more information beyond the book, Susan's site is solutionsbysusan.com. And a wealth of information here. I wanted to ask you, it says here that you have a tough love technique. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I love that. You guys are awesome. Well, it's really about calling the bird out of the bush. And that's one of the phrases that I use because, you know, we all really are intuitive, right? And we see and know things, and oftentimes we're afraid to speak up. And the reason we're afraid to speak up is, you know, we have these attachments to the outcome. You know, we want safety and security and love and belonging. And we have this fear that if we speak up, we might lose one of those attachments. So my calling the bird out of the bush teaches a way that we can do that that's done in love, that doesn't intimidate other people or alienate them or in any way make them feel less than. It just offers an invitation to a conversation that's more truthful. Mm. And I actually talk about that in my book, Ego at Work, as well. You know, because that's all about being in the essence, you know, staying in truth, staying in the present moment, really in love, growing together to be all that we can be.
Right. Wow, I mean, that's pretty cool. You know, I mean, people should be more aware of that at work, I think. And there's too many people just complaining and they don't really do anything with it. And so I can see where you can come in and help organizations with that. So,
well, and oftentimes complaining to the wrong person, right?
Right.
You know,
yes.
Instead of having the courage to go to the person that could really help us solve the problem.
Yeah, that's true. And sometimes, I know, that's the thing, is that, like, sometimes, you know, you have a problem with someone, instead of taking it up with them, you go to the boss or something. But they always tell you, I think even, like, lawyers and stuff, when you have a dispute, they always say, try to settle out of court. You know, try to work it out with that particular person directly first.
You know, Sam, you just helped me think of a market that I should go to with my book, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there you go. I'd be a bestseller.
Yeah, there you go.
What all those attorneys and their people.
I know.
Brilliant. I love it.
Yeah. So, Susan Worley, go ahead and give your websites again.
Yes, the book website is Ego at Work. And I do want to mention that the book is available right now, but we're doing a big launch between 9/11 and 9/13. And if you buy the book in store or online during that time and send me your proof of purchase, what we give you is this bonus package. And it's 3 months for free on that digital dashboard that I was just talking about that I developed, that helps you align to your goals and what you have to do to reach your goals. And it's just an awesome dashboard. Plus, we will email you two of our other books, The Power to Believe and The Personal Leadership Puzzle, if you buy between 9/11 and 9/13. And you can find out more about that book launch promotion if you go to egoatwork.com and just look under the tab of book launch.
That's a great deal.
Yeah, it is.
It is a great deal, isn't it? You know, I'm so committed. You know, the byline in the book is align to your purpose and reconstruct your mindset. And I am so committed to this mission of helping people do that. So that's our way of just giving a little extra.
And I'm friends with Alex, so now I can tell exactly where she got her work ethic from. And how she's so great to work with.
That was the nicest compliment.
Oh,
thank you, Jen.
I'm glad, because we worked together for the first time at AfterBuzz TV, and she was just such a joy to work with. She was just so, like, easygoing, but also so helpful and just, like, always positive and smiling. And it was just, like, lovely.
Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know, the thing about being a mom, it's back to the tough love question Sam had. You know, I call the bird on the bush and my children when they were not acting out of their essence. You know, and when they're younger, they don't necessarily appreciate that, right? And I would say to them, my job is to help you be the best you are, not to have you like me. But I promise you, when you're older, you'll like me for this. And it's so fun now that my children are 27 and 33, and they come to me and they go, Mom, thank you so much for helping us be the best us. So it comes back to you. Maybe not in the moment, but later on.
Yeah, it's an investment. So I wanted to ask you, if people want to access the dashboard, and they don't send in all that material and stuff, can they still access your dashboard? Is it available for
people? Yes, that's a great question. They can find out about it by going to BizRemedies, BizRemedies, BizRemedies.com. Mm-hmm. And that'll explain what this dashboard is all about. And people will get a license for a year to use the dashboard as an individual, or let's say a company wants to bring their executives together so they collaborate better and innovate better over the goals. They can get a license for this dashboard for a year as well. And we're offering it with the book for a 3-month trial, just because, you know, the best way to know if this works for you is just to get on it and start using it. And there's just so many tools within this dashboard besides the alignment of the goals itself. We have videos and a workbook and all these fun things to help you be successful. So BizRemedies.com.
BizRemedies.com. You know, I'm clicking on your website on BizRemedies, And it takes me to a page that doesn't exist. So you might want to take a look at that and make sure the website is working. Yeah. So I know things happen all the time, and people always tell you, well, this is not working.
I'll check that out.
Yeah.
It was working this morning, so we'll see what happened.
Yeah.
And then my regular consulting site is solutionsbysusan.com. And that's where they can find out about our coaching program and our other books.
Wow, very cool.
You know, how they might have me for keynote speaking or whatever they might need.
A very productive person. Well,
thank you.
Yeah, very interesting. You have a lot of interesting things to say. Everybody go out, get the new book, Ego at Work. You can go to egoatwork.com, find out more about the book, or you can get it, you said, at Amazon and all the other places.
Yeah, it's available everywhere. If they walk in Barnes & Noble, they can get it online. And again, the best time for them would be 9/11 to 9/13, so they can get the bonus.
Right.
And if they look on the website, it explains how they give us their proof of purchase for the bonus.
Sounds good. Well, Susan Worley, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you. This was a pleasure.
Jen, thanks for making the connection.
Anytime.
Yes, Jen, thank you.
Cool.
Alex has said wonderful things about you as well. And I checked your website out and your show, and how fun.
Thank you.
Yeah. Jen is pretty productive too, yeah.
I try. There's always things I can be doing better, but I'm really interested in your content that you put out because I want to read all your books.
Oh, bless your heart. Bless your heart. Thank you. Well,
awesome,
thank you for the
Susan.
Opportunity to help me spread the word. I appreciate it. And God bless to both of you.
Of course. Thank you so much, Susan.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye. He's a very fun person, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like guests that are easy to talk to. Sometimes it's hard to extract anything out of them, you know? But some people are just like, you know, they have so much to say and they're enthusiastic about it.
Yes, and you can also tell that she's a nice person.
Right.
And that's why I made the comment about her daughter, because her daughter is also such a lovely person.
Really?
So now it's interesting to see, like, that it obviously comes from her mom.
To talk to the mom, yeah. Wow, very cool. So, I mean, people do need help with their ego. And you know what? When I learned some spirituality and stuff way back when, in the Kabbalah and stuff, and they were saying how the body wants things for itself, but the soul wants to give. And they're saying, you know, if you can reconcile these two things, where the body wants only for itself and the soul wants to give, like deep inside, you know, you want to help out, you want to give people, you want to share what you have. And they're saying, if you can align these two somehow, then you become a much happier person.
Right.
Because think how great it feels to give something to someone,
right.
You know. I know when I buy presents for someone, I can't wait to give it to them.
Yeah.
You know. So, the ego can get in the way and it can challenge people, but... just look what happens when everybody's only looking out for their ego. You don't get very far.
Right.
You know?
I think maybe to add to your Donald Trump rant that we go on every day, he has a lot of ego.
Yeah.
And not that he's wrong in what he's saying or, like, you know, that his ego comes from, like, a place that's unwarranted because, I mean, he's right about a lot of things. It's just the way he presents it.
Right.
It's arrogant.
Yeah.
And so... his ego comes through everything he does.
Right.
So it would feel like the United States of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
It wouldn't feel like a country we all are part of. It would feel like his country.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Like a platform just for him to rant. But, however, I do agree with his commentary on the shooting this week.
About guns?
Yeah. About it's a mental health issue. And I firmly believe that.
Right.
I mean, to the point where now even on dates, I'm like, can I ask your mental health? Like, I know that that's so not allowed, but, like, what are you going to give to my kids?
Yeah.
Or what are you going to say to me in a fight? Or what are you, whatever, what are you going to turn into later? But, like, it's kind of like the same thing as, like, you know, when you get checked for diabetes or cancer, like, what runs in your family?
Right, exactly.
So I do think it's an interesting thing. It's also how people deal with it, how they view it, if they're honest about what their issues are. Like, this guy that... shot the people the other day. I mean, I'm sure somebody in his life noticed that he was a little off his rocker.
It could have been, you know, but what if he's a loner or something? You know, I mean, nobody really knows.
Maybe. I mean, but even loners have families or have people that will say they're loners. You know, like, if you point to that and say, like, okay, well, that guy was a loner.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe it could have been picked up earlier. Or maybe in this case, it's not the issue. But like,
right. You see, it's not. Sometimes it goes undetected because even the person is not aware of it, you know. And that's the thing. Until they get diagnosed, they think it's just a character flaw or something like that.
I mean, you know? I guess he could be not aware of it. But when you have an intent to kill, you have to wonder about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's true. But I guess when you're mentally ill, maybe you don't get to that point.
Right. Which is why I think, like, in terms of gun control, like, yes, I do think there should be gun control. And I think it should be for the sake of, like, your mental health. Like, you should have to go through, like, a preliminary psych.
Right. Like,
consult.
Background check. Or
yeah.
Something
not
like
even
that.
Just a background check. Like, okay, I've never robbed a bank, but what if I have crazy thoughts and I'm suicidal?
Right.
Like, that's not going to show up anywhere unless you ask my doctor.
Right.
And what if I never went to the doctor? So I should have to go to the doctor before I get a gun.
Mm. Yeah. So get an okay from a doctor.
Right.
Mm. That makes sense, too.
Like, I mean, you have to get an okay from a doctor to get, like, an anxiety dog.
Right.
You know? Like, okay, if I have to get a letter from my doctor for just a dog that can go places with me, how about a thing that can kill people?
Right. Makes sense.
I think so.
Yeah.
So
especially if it's a mental health problem. Yeah, you know, you try to prevent it as much as you can.
Right. And right. So, you know, that would stop, I think, some people from getting guns. It would also help people that don't know they have mental health issues get on medicine and get help because right. they would be stopped in their tracks if a doctor was like, I mean, then again, it could also like produce corrupt doctors that are getting paid off by
right.
people that just want guns. But I don't know. I think there has to be some level of change that happens with the mental health situation.
Yeah. You see, it's just, I think if you do that, then everybody's going to have to run to the psychiatrist. There's so many people with depression and things like that.
Well, then maybe those people shouldn't have guns, and that's fine. They
yeah.
should go to the doctors. And also, the doctors need business, too. So great. And everything with healthcare these days, like, I think it's just a circle of life.
Yeah.
You can't get a gun unless you are mentally stable.
Right.
And if you're doing it for the right reasons, which is
But the
to
question
your
is,
family.
do they get the guns legally? Because if they
right.
don't, it
well,
really
I don't
matter.
Know the answer to that in this regard, like with this particular guy, but at least it causes one level of, you know,
protection.
Yeah.
Because yeah.
that's just crazy.
Yeah. I know.
And then there was a stabbing the other day. Or was it today? I mean, people are just running around town doing
yeah,
crazy things.
Yeah, killing people.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's not the solution, guys. Just saying. It ends up worse for you.
Exactly.
But sometimes they just don't care about what's worse.
Yeah. So, so I guess Trump is talking about that. So that's what you brought up, the fact that he mentioned mental health.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And, I mean, the thing is that, you know, I have to agree because on the one hand, you know, I don't want people to have guns because I think a lot of people are irresponsible with them. And at the same time, you know, the Second Amendment about guns was meant to protect people from their government, not really from each other. But, you know, I mean, we're a gun-happy society. There's no doubt about it. There's many countries that don't consider guns that important, but we do. So perhaps we should listen to a certain part of the population that thinks, okay, well, we should be able to own a gun to protect ourselves and our families. So, you know, I don't know.
And you should be able to, but you should also be checked first. Great.
Right.
There's a compromise there.
Right. I just think that usually, and that's what they say, you know, if guns are illegal, then only criminals are going to have guns. And that's the point, you know, that criminals don't go through the process. So it doesn't matter how we check and what background checks we do, they're still going to get guns, you know. And that's the thing. I think
well,
everybody
that's one thing for criminals, but what about mentally unstable people that shouldn't have guns in the first place?
Well, they would be criminal then now, too, right?
I mean, I guess.
Once they use that, I mean.
But then we're, like, defeatist by saying, well, we can't do anything about it, so let's not do anything about it. Okay, well, we can't do anything about what? ISIS, so let's not do anything about it?
No, I don't think it's about not doing anything about it. I think it's about, I mean, I totally agree with you and stuff, but I still think it shouldn't really affect what healthy people should be able to do. But, you know, all kinds of ideas and stuff. But, Yeah, I have to agree with you on Trump. We were talking about this, how he, some of his remarks are really just, I think they're ruining the message. I really do, you know, and he does have an ego problem, but that's nothing new. We've always known that as long as Donald Trump has been around. It's always been about Trump and stuff, but perhaps now when he becomes a president, he'll see beyond that because he has to answer a lot of people.
Do you think he's being voted in?
If.
I would like to announce to our audience that I'm not necessarily for or against Trump. I'm just citing the news.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I'm leaning for him, but I don't know what else he's going to do between now and the elections. But I guess they're saying that in the polls, he's still leading 28%, and the closest one is Ben Carson with 12%. So, if nothing changes, Trump is going to get the nomination. But the question is, will he be able to beat the Democrats? And now Joe Biden is thinking about it. And I think he would be the Democrats' best bet because Hillary is being tainted already. You know, she's just like, there's too much controversy around her. Joe Biden is like, nothing really happened negative around him. So he could get started. Although I'm sure once he starts running, they'll dig out all kinds of things about him.
They sure will.
Yeah. Did you know that he lost his son? Maybe a year or two ago?
Yep.
Yeah. What was it? An accident or something?
I don't remember.
An accident? Yeah. That's pretty sad, man.
Yep.
To have to go through that. But Joe Biden will be elected by people that want more of Obama. And I think there's a lot of people like that. So it's going to be interesting to see what's going on, what goes on there. But I don't know. I'm still trying to hear the messages between Trump's remarks to see what's going on, you know. But the attack on Megyn Kelly, I don't think it's relevant. I don't think it's important. I don't think it helps him at all. But like you said, you know, he does have to deal with that ego problem.
Right.
Yeah.
So we talked the other day about Rosie O'Donnell's daughter who ran away.
Right. And then they found her.
And she ran away again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. And that was like with a guy before, right? She was, they never said if she was like kidnapped or if she went there by choice, right? There was talk of molestation or something.
Oh, I didn't read that. But I guess she turned 18 and she wanted to go see her birth mother. Because she's adopted, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so her choice was to go run away, and.
And they did say she had mental health problems, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow, how sad, man. I mean, I feel so bad for people with problems like that, because it's really not their fault, you know? I mean, you just, like, you have all these genes and all these hormones running in you and the chemicals in the brain, and they just don't fire correctly.
Right.
Yeah, and then people suffer and stuff. But you know what? Thankfully, in today's world, we're more open to accepting that as mental illness and being able to treat it. But before, I mean, they would, like, kill these people, you know, or put them in an institution for life.
Right. There are solutions. There's medicine. There's Eastern medicine. There's all kinds of things that can be done.
Right. Yeah. So I guess there was this Air Force plane that crashed.
No, it was...
It caught on fire, right? Caught on fire. And they figured that it was... The reason was because of a retaining nut connecting oxygen tubing that was not tied properly.
Yeah, a nut.
A nut. A friggin' nut.
Yeah.
Cost $62 million in damage.
Yes, and thank God it didn't take off because it would have killed all the people on board.
Oh, so this was on the ground?
Yes.
Okay. So it wasn't fire flying, but yeah. Wow. So they're saying it was like a contractor that was responsible for that. And
it's so crazy because, I mean, if anybody's ever flown a plane before, like part of the lesson, and you compared it to that of your horseback riding lesson, is you have to go and get the entire plane inspected. Like, you have to walk around and touch every nut and bolt and make sure it's flat, screwed in, tightened, that all the valves are in and the gauges and all that.
Yeah, I mean, words, that's their job. But they can't do the basic job, you know.
Well, so you learn that that's imperative before taking a plane up, because any small thing could cause that plane to go down because of aerodynamics. So, like, I mean, I remembered, like, I had to do an episode for a TV show and I had to fly a tiny little Cessna. And I was like, I'm bored of checking this plane. I would never want to do this every single time.
Right.
And I know that there are people that, you know, get their pilot's license or, like, take planes up all the time. I'm like, who's got time to sit and touch every single nut and bolt? But, like, if I were into it, I would say that's probably going to be the thing I do first. And it, like, make that a priority.
Right. And not regret it later that you were too lazy to check it.
No. And, like, how did people that have been doing this for years and that's their one job let something like that happen?
Exactly.
I get it. There's human error and mistakes can be made. But, like, that's a huge one.
That's a huge mistake. Right. Wow. So, yeah. A rivet joint. Well, that's a big plane, too, they're showing here. An RC... 135.
Oh, man, there's another hurricane or a tropical storm in the Caribbean.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it?
That's late. There hasn't been a lot of hurricanes this summer, though. I feel like hurricane season for Florida has been okay this season.
That's true, this season.
But so, yeah, this is a late bloomer, I guess. Tropical storm Erica is supposed to hit South Florida on Monday.
Oh, so it is. Oh, wow. We'll see. I hope they prepare for that.
They always do.
Yeah, I guess.
It's not like an earthquake.
Yeah.
Especially if it's in the news today and it's Thursday. Plenty of time to put your shutters up.
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes I just feel, I imagine there's earthquakes going on. Sometimes when I take a nap, it feels like everything is moving. I don't know why. But maybe because I'm too apprehensive about earthquakes. I just think that once if we get a big one, it won't be fun. It's going to throw us back to the Stone Age, I think. And I don't want to think about that. So, but it's real. It's real, you know. It's a real threat.
Well, I hope that the people in South Florida and the Caribbean can prepare with app time and get it ready. Get their places ready.
Yeah.
I will be calling my parents after the show.
So, I mean, we're continuing with this politically correct thing and people trying to destroy our past. And now, Julianne Moore complains about the name of her high school and she's calling to change it. It's named J.E.B. Stewart, and I guess this is based or named after a Confederate general, right? Is it a general? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
But so she says it represents a history of racism. Now, I don't know. I don't know that anybody said anything about this. The school symbol is Stuart riding a horse and waving the Confederate flag. Look, the thing is this, is that we may not have a history that's spotless, but it's history. You can't go and erase everything.
It's not that you want to erase it, but you don't want to, like, you know, herald it and, like, say this is a school named after this guy and it's not a positive thing anymore. So you probably want to, not that it was positive ever, but I think you can change names. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Because that school, like, if you really think about it, was named after that guy. Do you think that they, like, commemorate him all the time? And, I mean, they say his name every day when they say what school they go to. But changing the name isn't going to change that school.
Right.
For the worse. Again, it's going to change it for the better.
It's part of history. You know, when I'm seeing, like, they're showing now ISIS destroying historical monuments and stuff. And you go, I mean, this is going to be gone forever, you know, and history is history. You've got, whether you're proud of it or not, it's your history, and you've got to, But, okay, I guess changing the school's name is okay, but the whole thing with the flag and stuff, it's just, I think it's really wanting to forget something that happened, you know, and it's very real. It's very real. So, I don't know, but all these...
I mean, it's not like they're burning the flags. They're just not waving them.
Right.
Which waving is a symbol of, you know, like commemorating pride and something. Pride. And right. So I just think that it's better to take it down, put it in a museum somewhere.
Yeah. I don't know. But at any rate, but I think that... well, just a segue for the political correctness and stuff. I guess these women now... did you hear about these fed-up moms? They decided to create their own clothing line for girls. And why are they doing this? Because they figure that not all girls want to wear girly clothes. So they're saying sometimes mothers end up going to the boys' section to buy a daughter's clothing. Which is very interesting because I would think that today girls don't just have dresses with ruffles and things like that, you know?
Yeah.
So they decided to come out with their own brand for girls. So there you go. You know, I mean, it's like taking away all the traditions and everything that's worked. And, I mean, who has ever complained about this stuff?
Well, that's what they're saying. They probably are now. Like, times evolve. We're not running around with, like, a loincloth. We're not cavemen anymore.
Right.
You know, cars change. Everything changes. So... this changes
too. I don't think they only make clothes like for girly clothes. You know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you go to a girl's department store, I would think you'd get some, you'd be able to find like shorts and t-shirts and things like that if they wanted.
Of course you can, but maybe this, I don't know. I don't know what these people's items look like, but
right.
If there's a market, great. If there isn't, it will fail.
Right. They just want to defy stereotypes, I guess. That's the
and
point.
Offer options to maybe people that are questioning their gender. Who knows? Especially in the wake of all this gender conversation, which is clearly a thing. And I think if we start our kids younger feeling more okay about being who they are, and let's say that's a girl wearing boy shorts, fine.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you agree? Is that what
means? I do agree. I just... I'm wondering why. I think this is stereotyping more if you're separating the two like this.
Well, that's the same thing if Target, like, their toys are now not for girls or boys, they're for kids.
Right.
So are you saying that's separating
but
the toys?
Toys are, no, I mean, let me think. Separating the toys. I don't know. I don't see anything wrong with it. To be honest with you,
what?
I remember with separating the toys. I mean, I remember going to Toys R Us all the time with my kids.
If there are girls' toys and boys' toys, and the boy wants a girl's toy, now there's judgment on him for why he wants a girl's toy.
But
versus
you know what?
Toys in general.
But you know what? Even if he gets a Barbie and the toys are together in the store, he's still gonna have to deal with that.
But if it's not going to be like such a stigma if that changes. If they're taking away all, like, you know, discrimination between girl and boy, then at some point we'll all be used to it. And at some point, you know, maybe the next generation of kids that are born who buy Barbies and are boys, nobody will care because that's just what it is.
Right.
So it's got to start somewhere. And if it starts now and fine, people are like, oh, why did that boy get a Barbie even though it's for all kids? Maybe in 5 years, that would just be the norm.
Yeah. But again, I think that's like pretending there's no differences between the sexes where there are. You know, there are a lot of differences. And I'm not saying that you should force a boy not to play with a Barbie. But at the same time, I think we do need to give our boys a little identity and to the girls. And, you know, not everything is equal. We're very different. We have different interests. We have different values. Women and men do, and so forth.
But maybe that's because we learn them. And if we're learning them from people, maybe this will change it and you can actually be who you are. And that's the same thing with, like, ego and attaching to identity and form. And because I have Barbies means I'm a girly girl. I'm not particularly a girly girl, so I don't want Barbies.
Right.
You know, like, I mean, what does that say about me then? Do I not have the female identity? Like, I think that it's just more open-ended and people can be who they are and gravitate toward what they like and who their essence is. Mm-hmm. Not to say that a boy that likes Barbies has an essence of liking Barbies, but, like, now there's just more options. And I think there will be less discrimination because there will be less labels.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I totally see what you're saying. You know, I just, my personal opinion is I think keeping our differences and cherishing our differences is what's important, you know.
But even, I mean, if you like, make girl boys from girl is different. Like,
yeah.
You know, so yeah. I think there's always going to be differences because we're all different people. But I don't know that saying, like, this is for you and this is for you is going right. to be that.
But I don't know. Are we sissifying our boys? I don't know.
But see, that's a whole thing in itself. And that's, like, an issue that people are addressing now.
Right.
All over the place. Because right. just because we teach our men that they need to be masculine, now they're lacking all these other skills because they weren't taught how to be compassionate. They weren't taught how to communicate. They were taught only you must be strong. A lot of men hate their dads because their dad said you have to be a certain way. And, you know, I think that if we teach men to be this version of a man, they're going to lack certain things. Same thing with females. They're lacking skills how to pay their own bills and how to fix things in the house because they have to be girly and they have to do make. I mean, this is like an outdated thought process, really. Like, what are you saying? Like, all women have to cook and clean. So it's kind of like that. Now they're evolving. They can be a different version of what they've been in the past.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's totally, I mean, it totally makes sense. And I guess that's a long conversation. We can continue some other time. I didn't realize it's 10:50 already, so we got to get out of here, folks. Thanks, Jen. Thanks, Susan Worley, who called in with her book, God, Get the Book. And we'll see you all tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.